Well, I think we have even more visitors tonight, and I appreciate that so much. And some of you I recognize from years past when you have visited when I was here for gospel meetings. And so I appreciate all of you being here, the members of the great Tipton congregation and others, and it's so good to see you, and we can be here together tonight. Hope you've had a good day. I've had a very good day. But I'll tell you something that happened. Tonight, I ate at Cracker Barrel with Fred and Brenda, and we had a server that was really good. I mean, he just did such a good job. And as we were leaving, he was sitting down talking to someone, and then a manager was standing there. So I went over to the manager, and I said, "Hey, this guy did a great job. You know, you're good, lucky to have him." You know, just like that. And then I was talking to him, and I was joking with him. And I said, "I came all the way from Alabama for you to serve me tonight." And he said, "Well, I could tell that when you said green beans." And so I said, "What did I say, grain beans?" But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. And that reminded me of something that happened the first time I came, 30-something years ago. One night I went to eat before services with one of your members who's not here now, but he was a member at that time. And we went to Jim Dandy. And as we were sitting there, I said, "I hope that you folks will be able to understand me the way I talk since I'm from Alabama." And he said, "Oh, no, we can understand you. You sound just like us." And then when the server came, first thing she said to me is, "You're not from around here, are you?" So I hope that you can understand my Alabama English tonight. I really hope that you can. I want to point out something in one of the songs that we sang. Verse 2 of Standing on the Promises, listen to this. "Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God." Now, I read that to you rather than singing it to you, and you should say thank you to me for not singing it. But, you know, we were singing that, and then we sang "Will Your Anchor Hold," so that was great in this, because tonight what we're going to do, and as it's already been announced, our topic is this, of how can I survive the storm? And we need to think about storms in our lives. There are different kinds of storms. For example, there are lightning storms, thunderstorms, there's snowstorms, there's hurricanes, there are tornadoes, there are a lot of physical type of storms that we have to deal with. And we have to take precautions and make preparations for these things. I think I told you this one year when I was here, but there was one time that I was in two hurricanes in the same year. Not everyone can say that, in two different places. We went to, after Bible camp, one time we went down to the Gulf Coast and a hurricane hit. And I knew there was going to be a storm. I didn't know it was going to be a hurricane. And so we were there like one or two nights inside in the motel with all our family in this one little room. And then I loaded our van in a hurricane to go home. And then that was in July. And then in September, my sister and I went to North Carolina to visit my brother to go to a golf tournament there. And I spent my birthday on his couch as a hurricane went over. So I was in two hurricanes in one year. And we used to live in Andalusia, Alabama, and that was several miles off the coast. But hurricanes would sometimes come through up there also. And then you've been in hurricanes. You've been in snowstorms. I know this is an area where there are some tornadoes from time to time. And so you understand those kinds of storms. But that's not really the type of storms that we want to talk about tonight. I want us to talk about the storms that you and I go through. Not physical storms, but emotional storms. maybe spiritual storms. Now, I'm going to put a list of different types of storms and problems that come into life, into our lives. And when you look at this list that I put up here, you might say, okay, yeah, I can check that one, I can check that one, I can check that one. Or you might say, you know, I've got some that are not even on that list. But look at these and see if any of these resonate with you as we look at these things. The death of a loved one, life-threatening illness, ongoing health issues, being a caregiver for those with health issues. Being a caregiver is really a stressful situation. Having a disease, having a problem is stressful, so is being a caretaker. So many families have problems. Problems with their children, problems with the parents, the different types of family problems, unrest, husband-wife trouble, controversy there. And so there are a lot of family problems that people have to go through. And financial trouble. You know, you can get into financial trouble. You can just go from paycheck to paycheck. And if something bad happens, then it wrecks everything financially. And so that there can be financial problems. People deal with depression. Depression is a real thing. And people deal with it. And people take medication for it. And people have therapy for it. And those are things that need to be done when someone is dealing with that. People have anxiety issues as they go through life. People are victims of abuse. There's just so many different storms that we can go through in life. And so that's what I want us to talk about tonight, is to talk about these storms, because storms happen to everyone. You know, it's not hard for us, and sometimes we tend to do this. We look at other people. Maybe we show up on Sunday morning and we look at people that they're dressed nice, and you look at them and you think, wow, they don't have problems. They don't have the problems that I have. Everything's going right for them. They've got plenty of money. They've got this. They've got that. It's so easy to look at that and not realize that every one of us at some point in our lives deal with difficulties. That's what life is. That's just the way that life is. And so what we, when we think about this, it's a matter, it's not if I'm going to have storms in my life. It's not if I'm going to have problems, but when. When are those things going to take place? And so we need to work, make the effort to be prepared, if we can, for those problems. Now, there's some things come in your life you never be prepared for them. Some things are so difficult, and they're overwhelming. And I understand that. I'm not trying to make light of anything, because we do have problems and difficulties in our lives. Back in the book of Job, it says, "Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Now, some of you can really relate to that. Really relate to that. That there are lots of troubles that we go through. Well, tonight what I want us to do is to ask this question. First of all, why do we face these storms? All those things that I listed there, other storms, other things that you can think of in your life, what are the reasons for this? Well, there are some people that say when something bad happens to you, it's always the result of sin. You've done something wrong. That's the reason why you're suffering. Remember that man Job in the Old Testament? All of us know Job. People that are not even religious people know about Job. They'll talk about the patience of Job. They know about Job. Remember Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar? When they came to him, when he lost his all of his flocks, he lost all his material possessions, he lost his children, he lost so many things. And his three friends came, and they did something that was great. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they started off great. Do you remember what they did? The first thing they did when they came is they sat in silence for 7 days. Sometimes that's all we need. Sometimes that's what people need. They just need someone to sit with them. We tend to do one of two things when someone, let's say they lose a loved one or they're having some difficulties. One thing that we tend to do is to not go. I don't know what to say. Let me tell you, I don't know what to say. When you get into a situation, that is difficult. I admit that that's a difficult thing. But here's the point. When some people go, they feel like they need to say something, and they talk and talk and talk and talk, and that's not what people need. Sometimes all they need is a hug. All they need is someone to sit there with them. Maybe you might not stay 7 days. That might not be a good idea. But just be there. That's the important thing to do. Well, Eliphaz, in Job 4, 7 through 9, he went off the rails. All three of them. Eliphaz would speak in the book, and then Job would respond, and Bildad would speak, and Job would respond. Zophar would speak, Job would respond. They'd go through cycles of that. And then another man, a younger man, it's assumed, Elihu, can he let them talk before he talked? And he did the same thing. And here's what they basically told him. Job, you're suffering because you're a sinner. But Job knew that wasn't it. And it wasn't. That wasn't the reason why he was suffering. It wasn't because he was a great sinner, but that was the mentality that they had. So when we see someone suffering, we don't need to automatically say, well, they're suffering because they're a sinner. Now, granted, some people do suffer because of their sins. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Sometimes people do things they shouldn't do, and then they do suffer for that. But we shouldn't say just because someone's got some problems and they're suffering, they did something wrong to deserve that. As a matter of fact, let's see what Jesus had to say about that matter. Turn to what Tony read for us in Luke chapter 13. And I think this is such a great illustration of this point, something that Jesus had to say. Luke 13, and beginning in verse 1. There were present at that season some who told Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. There's old Pilate. We see him now. We're going to see him later when he washes his hands, when he knows he ought to let Jesus go, but he won't do it. And he washes his hands and tries to rid himself of that responsibility. But notice, this is very important. Notice what Jesus says. Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered these things? Did Pilate go out there and find the worst people he could find and then put them to death? No, he just chose these Galileans. Whether they were good or bad people, he chose them. That didn't happen to them just because they were bad people. That's what Jesus is saying. You think those are the worst people in town? No. And then he says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's the point that Jesus is trying to make. And he uses two illustrations to make the point that you need to repent or you're going to perish. Look at the second illustration, verse 4. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were the worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, Nate, if you repent, you'll all likewise perish. See, the point that Jesus is making, you need to repent or perish. You need to turn or burn. And he uses two illustrations that would have been well known to these people. The people that Jesus was speaking to would have known about those people that were whose blood was mingled with their sacrifices. They would have known about that Tower of Siloam that fell. They didn't have the internet, but I guarantee you that made the news. And those people died. And so he says, were those the worst people in town? No. Sometimes things happen when people are in the wrong place at the wrong time. They didn't do anything to deserve it. They didn't do anything to cause it. But still, that's a storm. Still, they're suffering. And we can find ourselves in that situation. Not that a tower is going to fall on us, but we can find ourselves. And we think, well, what did I do to deserve this? Well, you can have bad things can happen even if you didn't do anything to deserve it. So we'll make that point. Now, some people have that idea, but that's not what the Bible teaches at all. Well, one reason why we find these storms in life is we live in a fallen world. And it's falling further every day, it seems. Like John mentioned, a storm that's out there that's facing us in this life. Hey, I'll be honest with you about this. I don't watch the news anymore. I just don't watch the news. Very rarely do I ever see the news. Matt Patsy may have it on, and I'll walk through the room, and I'll stop for a minute. I kind of get upset. It kind of bothers me when I see the things that are going on. And that's kind of the fallen world that we're in. Well, how did it get this way? Well, there are a lot of reasons, but if you go all the way back to the beginning, remember what happened when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and they were cast out of the garden. They were in a perfect place, following God. And when they were cast out of the garden, that brought into the world death, disease, difficulties, problems. And we today face some things that come because of what they did. We don't face the sin. We do not have the sin of Adam on us. We're not born with that sin on our souls. That's not what we reap from what they sowed. But all of the things that have changed in this world since the Garden of Eden came as a result of a decision that was made there. And so we find ourselves in what we find that there's aging, sickness, disease, all kinds of problems, because that's the kind of world that we live in. So that's one reason why we have these situations. Another reason is because God respects His own laws. God set the world up the way that it is with certain laws, and they stay that way. Here's what I'm talking about. Let me give you this illustration. Suppose there's a man who has many storms in his life, and he decides he's going to give up. He climbs up on a high building, and he decides to end his life. And he jumps off that building and hits the ground, and he dies. Why did he fall once he left off that building? The law of gravity. That's what brought him down there. Let's think of another man who is a construction worker, and he's up on a high girder somewhere, doesn't have a safety belt on, and he slips, and he falls, and he hits the ground and dies. Why does he do that? The law of gravity. One man intended to do it, the other one didn't, but the law of gravity still took place. You know, if I were to pick up this songbook over here and hold it up and drop it, it's not going to stay up here. It's going to fall because of the law of gravity. And so God has set up the world and in the way that it is. And so because of this, God respects His own laws. Another reason is God has made us free moral agents. What that means is I can choose right or wrong. I can choose what to do. I can make good decisions or I can make bad decisions. And there can be repercussions from my bad decisions. There can be blessings from my good decisions that I make. Now, talking about that, that moves right into the next point that I want us to see. Sometimes these storms of life come because of our sins. Now, I said earlier, it's incorrect to say it's always the result of sin, but sometimes it is. Sometimes we make bad decisions, and we suffer because of that. And as we know, the Bible tells us, it's true, that you do reap what you sow. And so that shouldn't surprise us that takes place, but not in every case. Like I was talking about a few minutes ago, when bad things happen, it's not in every case that we're reaping what we sow. Let me tell you about a sweet little lady. In the first place I preached, it was a place I preached before I went to Andalusia, Alabama, that we talked about yesterday. A little town called Oakman, Alabama, close to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You've probably heard of Tuscaloosa. Probably not Oakman. A small congregation. And there was a sweet little lady. Pastor and I were just married. I mean, we got married in June, and we moved there in September. So we were newlyweds and had a brand new job. And there was a sweet little lady. We called her Granny Olive. And she was so sweet to us, kind of took us under her wing. And she did so many good things for us, a great Christian lady. Well, one time she got sick. So I went to the hospital there near Oakman, went to the hospital in Jasper. And went to her room, and I could tell she didn't feel well. And she said, "Oh, Brother Ricky, I don't know what I did to deserve this. I don't know why God did this." And there I was, a baby preacher. I mean, I'd just barely gotten started. But I told her, I said, "Granny Olive, that's not how it works. You're such a good lady. You're such a good Christian lady. People get sick, but it's not because they did something wrong." So what I'm saying is, I don't know what your mentality is. It may have never crossed your mind. But if you're having some storms in your life and you're wondering what you did to deserve it, don't think that. Just don't think that. Possibly you could have, because it does happen sometimes. But don't think that that's always the case in your life. Let me tell you about something else that happened. I've told you before, I don't know if you remember it, some of you may not have heard it, but I'm the youngest of 10 children in my family. My mother and father, they just kept trying and kept trying until they got just what they wanted. And then they stopped. And it took them 10 tries. For some reason, my brothers and sisters don't like me to say that. But there's 10 of us, 3 of us still alive. And one of my sisters, who passed away a few years ago, had a son that one night, and this was a long time ago, but he lived in Gurley, Alabama. And in Gurley, Alabama, there's a stretch of road from the little downtown area, not much to downtown. Anyway, from there, there's a stretch of road that is a mile long, and they called it Mile Lane. And kids would get out there and then see how fast they could go on Mile Lane, just a rite of passage. It was something that they did. And so my nephew Don was doing that one night. But the danger of that is when you go on Mile Lane, after you complete the mile, then there's a curve. And you're probably ahead of me. Don had been drinking, and he missed that curve, and he went off into the woods and hit a tree. It crushed his hip, and the rest of his life, he was in constant pain. Constant pain. Took so much medicine, and he took so much medicine over so many years that eventually his body just wore out. And he died. But for those years, every day, he was in such pain. Now, if he hadn't been drinking, maybe he would have made that curve. Maybe he would have hit his brakes. You see, Don was committing sin. He was doing something he ought not do. And he suffered because of that. So sometimes that does happen. Not always, but sometimes it does. Sometimes the storm of life comes to us because of what other people do. A drunk driver can hit someone and kill or injure people. Someone can take a gun into a school or into a shopping center and kill people. And so people can suffer because of what other people do. It doesn't have to be anything that drastic. People can mistreat others and give them storms of life. Sometimes we do suffer because of others. There's some people in the Bible that did that. What about Abel? Cain and Abel, you know what happened to him? He was right with God. He offered the right sacrifice in the right way. And his brother didn't like it because his sacrifice was rejected. And so he went out in the field and he killed him. What about Uriah the Hittite? Uriah was married to Bathsheba. And David committed sin with her, then brought Uriah home and tried to get him to go home, and he wouldn't do it. So he sent him back into battle, and with the instructions on him to be put out front, and then everyone else dropped back so he'd be killed. And he suffered because of the sin of another person. What about Jesus? What about the things that he suffered because of other people? What about those Hebrew children that didn't get to go into the promised land for 40 years? They grew up in the wilderness because of the lack of faith of their parents. And so sometimes we do suffer because of others. Let me tell you the rest of the story of Don, my nephew. Don, who was drinking, he was driving, and his girlfriend, Dawn, was with him. You know, I met her and I thought, well, Don and Dawn, that's going to be difficult to remember. Well, I don't know if Don was drinking or not, but Don was drinking. And they didn't make that curve, and they went and hit that tree, and Don lost her life because she was with Don. She suffered because of someone else. So you see, that's something that we can do. We can suffer that way, sometimes for our own sins and sometimes because of the sins of other people. And then sometimes things just happen. Look at this verse. The race is not to the swift. Normally it would be. The race would normally be to the swift. Fastest person is usually going to win, but not always. They can turn an ankle. They can maybe they don't feel good that day. But the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The best, strongest army doesn't always win because maybe the other army has a better battle plan. You can have a football team that's, this is not in the scriptures now, but you can have a football team that is favored to win. Sometimes the underdog wins because of that. All right? Nor bread to the wise. You usually think the wise would have the most physical blessings. That didn't always happen. Nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. There's some things you just don't have an explanation for. Sometimes it's just random chance. Sometimes you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So sometimes those kind of things can happen. So those are some of the reasons why these storms come in our lives. Now what I want us to do is look at something that happened in the life of Jesus and get a couple of ideas on how we can handle the storms. For whatever reason it is, here are some ways that we can do it. Tonight we're going to look at an event. There were times, at least twice, that Jesus and his apostles were on the Sea of Galilee in a storm. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 8, and that's where we'll spend the next few minutes of our lesson tonight. Now, do you remember what happened in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? The Sermon on the Mount, right? He preached that great sermon. And last night I challenged you to read through the Sermon on the Mount in one sitting. Don't know if you've done it yet. Don't do it right now, but I want you to do that and look how many times Jesus talked about the heart. Not just the actions, but the heart behind those actions. Well, look now in chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, so the Sermon on the Mount came to a close, he comes down off the mountain, great multitudes followed him when he came down from the mountain. All right? And then we see in verse 5, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. Now Capernaum, it's a city on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. So he comes into that seacoast city. He gets in a boat with his apostles. Go down to verse 23. Now, when he got in a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he Jesus was asleep. Then his disciples came to him, woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. So what we're doing now is we're looking in Matthew 8:23 through 27. Save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Number one, the first thing we need to do is what we find in verse 23. He got into a boat with the disciples. Number one, you need to have Jesus in your boat. That means have him in your life. That's the first thing you need to do. You know, I wonder sometimes when I look out into the world and I see people that are struggling with the storms and the problems and the difficulties of life and they don't have Jesus, sometimes I just wonder, how can they do that? How can they deal with these things without having Jesus in their boat? So the first thing we need to do is to have Jesus in the boat. Jesus, or rather God says, we read in Hebrews 13, a quotation from the Old Testament, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be with us, and we need to remember that. The Apostle Paul knew that was true as he was bringing 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was bringing 2 Timothy to a close. He said, when I went before the lion, talking about going before Caesar, he said, no one stood by me, but the Lord was with me. He had Jesus in his boat. He had Jesus in his life. That's what we need to do. But now I want you to notice a couple of other things about this. He got in a boat. His disciples followed him. They were doing something that was right. They were doing the right thing. They were following Jesus, and they still had problems. Sometimes people wonder, I'm trying to follow Jesus, but I still have these problems. Well, here we have the apostles. They're getting in there in the boat, and a storm comes. And as we read a minute ago, they got scared because they saw the seriousness of that, even though they were trying to do what was right. As we go through our lives, we may be struggling with things. We're told to, as we go through our lives, we're to bear our cross, follow him. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16:24. There may be a cross to bear in our Christian lives, but we do that, and it's being a Christian may not always be the easiest life, but it's always the best life. That's what we need to do. That'll help us in dealing with these storms of life as we go through them. I've always thought this was really good. A man named Clyde Gordon wrote this. Christ is no security against storms, but he is perfect security in storms. He doesn't promise an easy passage, but he does guarantee a safe landing. So when this life is over, when we go through these struggles and these difficulties, we can know there's something better. That's the hope we talked about Sunday. Hope beyond this. The Apostle Paul says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men the most miserable. But there is hope beyond this life. And even if we're struggling with the things that we have in life. All right, let's continue a little bit. Verse 24, and suddenly a great tempest came. A great tempest. We can have a great tempest. A great storm in our lives. There can be, as we go through life, there can be physical storms and emotional storms and spiritual storms. But maybe one of the worst things about this as we go through life is that Jesus was asleep. Sometimes we may feel like God is asleep. Why doesn't God hear me and do this? But in Psalm 27 verse 1 it says, wait on the Lord. Again I say, wait on the Lord. And have patience and wait and follow after him. Then look what happened to these men. They came to Jesus. They woke him up and said, Lord, save us. We're perishing. Now, think of who's in the boat with him. There's at least four of those men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. What did they do for a living? They were fishermen. They were used to being on the Sea of Galilee. No doubt they had been through storms, but this storm was so bad they were frightened and they were scared. We can be strong, faithful Christians, and we can be scared. We can find ourselves in storms in our lives like they found themselves in storms because we're human. That's what it is. That's why we feel this way, because we're human. But we're human just like everybody else is human, but yet we have the divine in us too. That's what makes the difference when we're seeking to serve the Lord in what we do. In Mark's account, they said something that's in a great line in a song that we sing sometimes. They said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" That's what they said. That's what Mark recorded them saying at this time. So fear and panic is something that can come into our lives like it did for them. But here's another point that I want us to see. What did they do? What did they do when they looked at this and they saw these things that were taking place? They went to Jesus. And that's one thing that we need to remember. We need to fear not. We need to be, even when those difficult times come. But think about this. What did they do? They came to Him. What do we need to do when we have problems and difficulties? We need to go to God. We deal with it with prayer and faith. That's what we do. We have a strong faith, and we talk to God about it. Some people look at faith as the last resort. I've done everything else I can do. Now, I'll pray about it. But that's not the way it ought to be. I love this statement I found a while back. Prayer is not a backup plan. Prayer is the battle plan. Isn't that great? When we're in anything in life, it's not a backup to pray. That's the battle plan. That's the first thing we do. Maybe they should have gone to Jesus a little bit sooner. Maybe they should have gone to Him when the storm first came. Maybe they waited so long. We don't need to wait too long. Let's be instant and constant in prayer in what we do. And then, finally, one of the things that I want us to see, Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I really like it in Mark's account where he says, "Peace, be still." He recorded where Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And that's what Jesus said. And it wasn't that the storm slowly began to move on and get a little bit better. No, immediately. It was still waters, because of what Jesus did. Now we have problems and we have difficulties and we pray about them. And sometimes they're resolved in a timely fashion and we're happy about that. Sometimes it's not as fast as we want it to be. Well, these men, they marveled, saying, "Who can this man be that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" I've heard people say, "I had these storms, I had this suffering, I had these problems in life, and the Lord was so good to me. The Lord blessed me. The Lord helped me get through that." Let's be faithful. Let's pray. Because we've got Jesus in our boat. And that's how we can survive the storms. Storms will come. That's inevitable. That's life. Storms will come. But is Jesus in your boat tonight? Are you able to handle those things because Jesus is in your boat? We all struggle. And if you're struggling with something, don't think you're alone. We all struggle with things in our lives to different degrees, but we all have these struggles and difficulties. But the Lord still loves you. We love you. And we want to help you with that. Maybe there's something in your life that's not right, and you need to repent. You need to make it right, and that'll help the whole situation. If your life's not right with God tonight, get your life right, and that'll help you to deal with these things. It may be that as far as your relationship with God is, you feel like your relationship with God is good, and you're working, and you're trying, and you're serving, and you're loving. But maybe you just need your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you. I'm struggling. I've got some difficulties. I've got some problems. Please pray for me. And we would love to do that. Anything to help you. If you let us know, while together we stand and while we sing.